Board of Equalization. Ready? Okay, we'll call to order the regular board meeting of the Board of Supervisors, 8:47. Please stand for the Pledge of Allegiance.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Open Meeting Act is posted on the southeast corner of the wall. Attendance by observation, Juergens, Hill, Dorn, Bauman, Lytle, Byers, Setzer. Okay. Next on the agenda is the consent agenda. The consent agenda consists of the general agenda, approval of minutes held from the meeting of January 8th, 2014, approve all claims through January 22nd, 2014 in the amount of $491,686.75. Approve and place on file all correspondence received. Approve specifications and call for bids on 2014 culverts project. Bids to be opened on February 19th, 2014 at 9:15 a.m. Next is utility permit 979 Windstream, Nebraska, Inc. to bore, trench, and plow a new underground communications line located in Section 13, Township 6 North, Range 7 East, in Nemaha Township, and in Section 18, Township 6 North, Range 8 East, Adams Township. That is item 1 through 6 of the consent agenda. Need a motion to approve, disapprove, or consider something separately.
I'll make a motion to approve the consent agenda.
Moved by Kathy.
That's it.
Second
by Byers. Any discussion?
Terry, Byers. Are you going to discuss these culverts in your road and bridge? Then,
Okay. Let's do it then.
Vote 7-0 to approve. Next, comments from the public and requests for future agenda items. If we can't think of it all now, we'll come back. If something comes up, we'll definitely allow someone to speak later. We have a timed item at in 10 minutes at 9 o'clock. We'll go ahead and jump into committee reports, building and grounds.
Not a whole lot going on. We did have beautiful winter lights, everybody noticed, and they are off now. And so our electric bill should go down. And Dave, would you like to come up? I think basically we have another item on the agenda about the sheriff's handicap area.
Right.
But we'll
talk about that later. Hi, good morning, Dave Jones. We did just talk about checking into installing bulletproof material behind the judge's benches. At this time, I don't have an exact amount of what we would need, but there is a company down in Texas that we could buy it directly from, and then we would install that. And the other thing was we did get a work order from the county attorney's office to check to see what we could do to build a secure lobby in the office. So we're going to do some checking in on that.
So we're moving forward to do what we need to do to take care of our county attorney. And
now, that's pursuant to the security plan that you folks require.
So. And our judges, so we'll move forward. But yes. Thank you, Dave, again, for all you do. Nothing new on equalization.
Okay. Finance and insurance?
There's been some comments about the interlocal agreement and the sales tax that with the city of Beatrice, and I believe we had a proposal there. They sent a proposal up, and we discussed that in finance committee and went over it, and Roger's still looking at it, and I know he's having some discussion with him a little bit on a few things in there. Basically, that's the city's proposing that we would be part of this. They need a partner. Yeah, a governmental partner, and that's what we would be. It would not. The proposal in there states that it would not cost the county anything, but there'd be a committee set up, two from them, two from us, to administer. Reading in the paper here, what they talked about Monday night, it'd be 5% of that. Of that sales tax, and I believe, if I'm right, that they're talking about the road out. The last time I read it, the road out here by the cemetery, and which is
33rd Street.
33rd Street, and proposed to do that. And I don't know, Roger, do you have any comments on that? Or
Just, and I don't know if you're going to have a formal discussion item. There was a couple things that I think we just need to clean up. For instance, we don't have a county engineer per se, and we were going to provide that, which just cover that. And then just some things I just wanted to advise the board that are involved. But you're right. The premise here is we don't have to pay anything. We would be getting some benefit, but that's required by the law.
Right.
They have another political subdivision involved. So, trying to find a common project, and I think that's basically what I know you guys have talked to them about that, 33rd Street.
Visited with Tobias.
And seems like that'd be a pretty good idea. So.
Yeah. And the committee had no problem with it, no problem going forward with it. It's not on the agenda for today, but I believe at our next meeting, then it'll be on the agenda for approval so that they're kind of up against the timeline so that they would like, the city would like to get that on the primary ballot here in May, and they're trying to keep it moving and stuff. So we'll have some more discussions, and Roger will get a few of the last details finalized or whatever and stuff, and then we'll have some more discussion Finance Committee, and then I believe Matt will have it then on the next meeting's agenda.
Anything else, Finance?
Oh. We have a Don talked to me a little bit about the mail machine and the age of that. So we had a little bit of discussion that she's getting some, I guess, quotes, prices or whatever, some of what that would cost us. That she had a lease, the cost of what the lease would be. A lot of the companies are going with the lease because of the maintenance. Yeah, everybody should have a flyer. Because of the maintenance, the first year or two isn't so bad. Our machine, all the maintenance is really becoming a lot, I guess, or whatever. So I know we'll continue to update on that. And want to add anything or what else?
But after the 6 years, then we've had it that long, then they really start doubling almost the price of your maintenance, your meter rental, all that.
Yeah.
Then we pay for postage downloads. If we go with the lease program, a lot of that's all-inclusive.
Yes.
So no, lease is the right way to go, but we can purchase outright or we can lease.
If you go with the lease program, the lease payments basically, if you bought it outright today, you figured a cost of interest on it, they're kind of a wash. There are some things they add in there on the lease, though, as far as like maintenance and stuff. They're covered a little better. I think the where the county might be better ahead leasing this would be the fact that some of these maintenance problems that we have on down the line that now are costing us would be part of this lease.
The maintenance and also the technology changes.
Technology upgrades.
Every time the post office changes their postage mount, we have to have a new chip. That is a cost for us because we own the machine, so it's a cost to get a new chip into that.
You told us that 95% of these are leased by the various entities.
Yes, that's what he gave me as the
question.
So.
Is this something we'd have to do before next budget year? Can we budget for? Is this thing dead, dying?
There is.
Slow death, or what's the...
I have to pay a maintenance now of, I think it was $2,500. So that's where if we want to do something new, because I pay it forward and we don't get that back. So if we want to do something, that we should wait a year, because I have to invest $2,500 in the maintenance. Our machine will be dead within 2 years. We can't use it at all. So they're phasing it out.
I think generally the committee felt we would be the best program would be to lease this, and we're having Don pursue that, I guess, and make sure that then we don't have to do the maintenance agreement.
Claritas is the one that gave me some information, and they currently are the ones that sold us the machine to maintain the machine that we have right now, and they gave us a state bid of the purchase or lease now. So
I don't believe this was around 25,000 or something, or 30,000?
13,000.
13,000.
Okay. A little over 13,000 to purchase.
To purchase, and that was not in the budget.
There is some lines because I knew we've been told for a couple of years that our machine isn't going to be serviceable before long. So there is some in the miscellaneous general now.
Okay.
We had another thing, but we were just going to discuss that in closed session with another finance issue, but another one that we need to negotiate and stuff. So,
Employee relations?
Don just gave me this morning another copy of the handbook. She has met with the rest of the elected officials, and so we will be getting our committee together this week and hope to present this to the entire board in 2 weeks for approval. So, or to present to the board in 2 weeks and then approval 2 weeks after that, probably.
I don't know if there's other things that you guys know that you want in there, and we can incorporate that, and then I can print off a final copy that you guys...
I guess I haven't gone through it again since that, was it a month ago? I had tabbed a bunch of stuff I'd gone through.
Right, and I think that's just updating what...
So I just have to look at that new version.
Yeah, so print out what I just got.
So 2 weeks will be a discussion, and then basically last call, we'll vote on it in a month.
And this is not to say that as we go through... It's always going to be a work in progress. There may be some updates and changes as laws and insurance and this type of thing change, but we will finally have an updated handbook. So
I think NIRMA is doing a meeting on some of the personnel guidelines in April, so there may be some state or law changes that might come out of that, too, that we might want to...
Let's see here.
And then I'd also like to say I went to the Blue Valley Community Action meeting last night in Geneva, and they handed out a new brochure of a new program that they're starting, which is for veterans assistance, people just coming out of the service or people needing assistance, filing for things. And I think mine fell out of my...
Oh,
it slid. She was a wild driver. And Phil, have you gotten one?
Yes.
Okay. They were going to be working through the Veterans Service officers on that. So that is one of their programs that I did think was a good one.
Great.
All right. We're going to hold off on our committee report updates. We're less than a minute away, so we're going to go ahead and... jump into, again, I say this, the most important thing we do every month is our Veteran Honors Program. And I'd like to have our Veteran Service Officer, Phil Dicker, come forward and present our veteran for this month that we are honoring.
Good morning. It's my extreme pleasure and honor at this time to announce that John Vincent Menzel, Gunner's second mate, is the recipient of the award this month. John joined the United States Navy in September 8th of 1942 and served till the war's end. He discharged in December 17th of 1945. He was recipient of the World War II Victory Medal, American Air Campaign Medal, Asiatic Pacific Medal, Good Conduct Medal, and the Philippine Liberation Medal. At this time, I'd like to present this to John Menzel.
Phil, he can go right there to that.
On that, Phil.
He can stay seated on that mic there. That's easier.
Thank you, everybody. I sure appreciate this award. And I spent about three years and 4 months, and it was all on sea duty. And the last part was the invasion of Okinawa. And that was pretty well prepared. We had 320 ships that made that invasion on April 1st. And while we was there, our president passed away by, I think it was April 12th or 14th. And at that same day, we had 18 suicide planes hit our anchorage. And it was in luck that our merchant ship was between the Texas and California. So, you know, with their shelling, we really felt the vibration. But it was, we was there 19 days before we got unloaded. And then we took off, come back to United States. And while we was loading up to go to Philippines, the war ended. So that was really something. And then we went to Philippines, and they had a fighting amongst themselves. We couldn't go on Liberty. So then we took off after we got unloaded. Then I got, at that time when we went out, they cut the crew in half. Our lieutenant commander left, and I was in charge of the crew then to go to Philippines. And then I got a report to unload all the ammunition over the side. So that was quite a chore, too. And then we come back to the States, and then I got to go home. And on the board here, I know Dennis pretty well, and Don. Don worked with us for quite a while. She was a good secretary, and I see she's still good, doing good work for you.
I just want to make a comment. Not only was John Mensel a fantastic servant of this country as in his service, but he has been a tremendous asset to Gage County and to this entire community for every minute of his life. Thanks, John.
Yep.
And I'd like to mention, John, that we also want to thank him for his over 50 years service as a Veteran Service Committee member and chairman for a lot of those years, let alone with some of the other stuff he's done, supporting veterans and being involved with the American Legion, VFW, and making sure that a lot of people in Nebraska had clean water, something
yes.
a lot of people don't know about, John. So thank you, John.
Yeah. Well, I was on the Veterans Committee Board. I had Bob Brandt as service officer, Don Raymond, Donald Schultz, Steve Norton, now Fail. And of course, we had Don as secretary for several years, and we sure enjoyed her good work. Thank you.
Thanks, Johnny.
Thank you very much, John, for your service. Thank you.
Thanks, Johnny.
Thank you.
Anyone else like to say anything on John's behalf?
John, on behalf
okay,
of the county,
thank you very
I'd
much.
To thank you very much.
Okay.
That's a token of our appreciation. Thank
okay,
you.
Okay, well, thank you.
Yes, sir.
Thank you.
Thank you very much, Sean. And thank you for
everybody here, too.
And thanks to all of our other friends from the Kensington.
Yes. Yes.
Well, I don't care. I have my
Thank you.
All right, we'll go ahead and continue with a regular meeting. We'll continue with the committee reports. Left off law enforcement, emergency management.
Yep. Big item we'll have later on in discussion and hopefully approval today is the Saline County and Dawson County contracts in order to transport some of our prisoners and hold them in them two counties. So we'll discuss that here after a bit and vote on it, hopefully. And we also discussed Gus is having a little bit of problem with his washer and dryer over there, and he brought a couple of different options to us, and he's going to go back and look for a couple more options, and he's smiling pretty widely now. So I don't know if that means there's something more that we've found out or what, but as far as I know, he's going to bring us back some more info, and we'll be bringing something probably next week to discuss on that.
But surely Davey from the attic can find an old washboard and a ringer. You got any of that around?
Then we also, one other thing that we did discuss a little bit was the transport van again. And, I guess there was a used van that was coming up in the area. And I think Gus has kind of decided to hold off on that and see how the year goes here and maybe look for something newer. Cause it was only about 25, 30,000 miles from the one we have now. So, I think it was like 80,000 as opposed to 116. So we kind of really didn't think that was probably the way we wanted to go. So I think Gus is going to hold off on that. So anyway, we continue to look for transport vans and kind of feel our way out on that.
And just to comment on mileage, I think when you inherited the taupe van, that it had 23,000 or something like that. And then how many has it got on it now?
I think it had about 60,000.
Oh, it had that much. Okay. And it's got
about a used.
And it's got what on it now?
About 120 now, probably.
And you've had that only a year and a half?
Yeah, that's probably 2.5.
Yeah, yeah.
Okay.
But still, even at that, it's 25,000 roughly a year that you're putting on it, somewhere in that ballpark. Yeah. So that's all we had.
At our fleet at home, that's just broke in. Okay. Anything else, Gary?
Nope, that was it.
Road and Bridge, Terry.
Okay, Matt. First off, we'll start with the armor coating. In our original bid, we had $275,000 budgeted for armor coating. The armor coating price came in at $198,000, approximately $199,000 for those 16.5 miles. It left us a balance in that line item of $76,000. We've asked Mark to come up with the worst condition roads to the best that we should be looking at armor coating. The number one on the list was Christ Church Road, 6 mile stretch. If we add that 6 mile stretch to the existing armor coating project, we'll come in under our budgeted amount. So we felt that was a good place to add those miles. And going on from there, Galen's had discussion with the company. Mark and Galen both have said these are excellent, excellent bids that we have received from these people. They've have stated that they would do more roads, but they have to know fairly quickly because there's other projects coming up they're going to bid on. We've identified the other roads that we think should be done, have been behind, shall we say, haven't got done. The second one on the list was Pickerel East, 10.5 miles, Odell North, 12 miles, Ellis North, 6 miles, Claytonia North, 2 miles, Claytonia South to DeWitt, 8 miles, and North 19th Street, 4.5 miles. And then also Highway 136 South of the B line, Homeville Blacktop, 8.5 miles. Anyway, our proposal is today, and we can discuss it more because it's going to come up for a vote, they'd be willing to do more miles at the same quote that they give us originally. Going back to the armor coating project, this might get confusing. There was approximately $660,000 left in that bond issue, which is money that we tried to want to maybe concentrate on roads that we were working on or that needed repair. So if we add the next two on the list, which is Pickerel East and Odell North, that would give us 22.5 miles at approximate cost of $268,000. And the 2014 culvert project to finish up the roads would be around $200,000, which would give us a total of $468,000. that we're proposing come out of the bond issue, and we would cap that at $500,000 being spent out of there, and it would leave us a money left over, possibly $150,000 to $200,000 for change orders and some engineering that has to be done yet. And we'll be coming up with that issue, but that's the main discussion we had during Road and Bridge, and we can discuss it more when we come to it. Or should we finish up? Any other comments on those? I mean, I said a lot here. I don't know if everybody...
Did you speak to the terms of the bond and the bonding attorney that you visited with Emeritus?
You visited with Mark Mumford here a couple weeks ago after we got our bids in for our... our overlay project and South 66 project, and we had basically $660,000 excess funds in that bond. And Mark got a hold of the attorneys that wrote the bond, and we can use that money. But number one is you can use it to pay back the bond. You can pay off some of the bonds, or you can use that money to pay back or use that money on any road project in the county. We cannot use it to pay interest on the bonds, or we can't use it on just some other project in the county that doesn't relate to the roads. And a lot of our discussion at least the Road and Bridge Committees have been how do we or what's the best use for those $660,000. And two of the things we did come up with, and we talked quite a while, what we're putting out to bids here a little later is four culverts, three on the Liberty Weimer Blacktop and one on the Odell Blacktop that they have the they've got all the engineering done on that, and they're going to put those out for bids here later on. And then there's three more on the Liberty one that would be replacing bridge with culverts. And that's where the culvert project part of this
now
comes in.
The four original that we have out for bids now, approximate estimate was $100,000. Yeah. And the three that we're looking at finishing up on that Weimar Liberty Road, they're narrow, need some replacement. Are going to, they're a little bit more detailed. They're going to need a little more structure to them. They're the other $100,000. So.
And we talked about making sure we don't use all that $660,000 at this time, because we know there's going to be some change orders. Deborah has had conversation with that, and we know there'll be some costs. And then we have not taken anything out of that bond for any of the engineering fees so far for the road. That's been all absorbed in the road and bridge budget so far. And some of these going forward, some of the engineering for some of this, that's one other use that we can do with those funds. So want to make sure we don't overspend that, and yet we want to make sure that we're doing something that the people of Gage County will feel comfortable with. I mean, they voted the bond through. They were the ones that passed this bond. And we've had discussion that we want to make sure that we're going to use those excess funds that is something that either be a part of those road projects or if we do another road project in the county such as arbor coating, that we get some real good use out of it, that we're doing something that's going to benefit us long term, not just a quick fix on something or whatever. So, and that's why we talked about doing more armor coating, because we've fallen way behind on armor coating.
I know we've done the core samples throughout the county, so we know the condition of the road that you can't see. And this, you know, going back to how people voted, I think in my district all precincts passed, yet there wasn't a single road being touched there. And this proposal that you bring forward, I think, gives an opportunity to go back and touch those roads that are in those districts or in my district, quite frankly, that didn't get anything. So I think that's good, and we know we've been beat over the head lightly by Galen and Mark that you've got to armor coat. And so we've got roads out there that have the alligator cracking. I think that's – did I say that right? Okay, one term. And it seals those up, and then we'll prolong the road and decrease the frequency at which we need to actually do an overlay. We know what the overlay costs are right now. So that's my two cents. I think that's a good use of those dollars, and we're seeking value because the price is really good, right?
Yes, right, correct.
This would bring, if we did these extra armor coating projects, it'd bring us up to about 44, 45 miles, somewhere in that range of armor coating. We have a little bit over 150 miles. In the last 5 years, I don't believe we've done a total of 44 miles. No. I can't remember exact how much, but we have not done that. John here mentioned something, and I heard about once every 5 years you need to.
Yeah, right, or somewhere in that time frame.
Yeah.
Yes.
To get your maximum benefit out of armor coating, you should be doing it once every 5 years. Well, in the last 5 years, we haven't even done 40 miles, so we're not keeping up. But it's like anything else. It's cost. And how do you, Denny mentioned earlier, taxes and costs and all of that, and trying to make that fit.
And the latest, when Galen was flipping through, is when they've been armor coating on these that are proposed. Some of them were done in 2008, but that's kind of the minority, and most of them are farther back than that. So they're at 6 years plus and showing that they need it.
Well, that's one of our action items here. Let's just interrupt you since we're having the conversation. We're talking about it. Anything else on that project, Terry?
No.
Well, then I guess what I'll do is I'll jump down here and ask for a motion to approve or disapprove adding 22.5 additional miles at approximately $12,000 per mile and using the excess bond money for funding. And those are Pick Release 10.5 miles and Odell North 12 miles. I make that motion. I need a motion to approve or disapprove.
I make a motion to approve.
By Terry.
Second.
By Gary. I'll throw Gary in there.
We also had discussion at committee that we felt this doing something like this was important enough, and then we're going to use the money out of the bond, that the whole board should vote on this, not just the committee propose this or whatever.
Yeah.
And that's why we're bringing it forward.
Yeah. Good idea. Excellent.
And I think that this is a wise decision to choose some more area that we can cover here, especially with the bond money, because quite obvious that the people of Gage County thought that this was a good thing to move forward with and to work on the infrastructure. So I think this is a wise move, and I think you guys have done a good job in listening to Mark and working with Mark to choose wisely what we work at. So I think this is a good idea.
And we're just giving them the taxpayers of Gage County even a better deal than we presented to them in the bond issue, and giving them much more. We're able to do that, so that's really great.
We did also have some discussion at committee about the fact of the bid that we got for the cost per mile of this. Should we or could we, I guess, draw against next year's budget? I think more of the discussion was really don't want to commit ourselves to that. We know we have some equipment costs and everything, and we really haven't really sat down and tried to get a handle on our budget for next year yet. And that at this time, we'd just as soon not do that, make a commitment for next year's budget already, and then find out later that maybe wasn't such a wise choice or not. And so that's why we're just proceeding with these miles at the present time.
More discussion? A motion and a second? Seeing none, vote. 7-0 to approve. Terry, continue with committee.
Okay. Adams Northwest Bridge, there was some problems with the permanent easement, or with some temporary easement that had to be adjusted to permanent easement on a few locations up there. That has been resolved, I believe, Deb, hasn't it? Okay. Tentative bid letting on that project will be late summer, early fall of 2014. Bathroom update at the shop has been completed. Armor coating, we spoke about that. That 6 miles we'll be doing out of the original budget to Christ Lutheran Church. Galen and Mark and Deb have all been working on the 1 to 6 year road plan. It's quite a task to get moving forward. We're going to I think vote on that on February 19th. So we'll have to. They've got quite a bit of work yet to finish up, but they've got a good start. I've got the map here of projects that have been completed and will be worked on. Discussion on. Giving approval for bid letting 3 slab bridges in Island Grove Township.
That's a 3 slab bridge, not
bridge. Bridge, yeah. 3 slab bridge.
Yeah.
Excuse me, yes. And are working on permits for this project. Galen's visited with Marshall County. We've had a lot of discussions about our gravel sources, where we're going to get gravel and everything. Galen has visited with Marshall County about their what they do for their roads down there. And basically, I don't know, kind of interesting. Galen, would you want to come up and just talk on that part, what you found out about that?
Yes, in my conversation with the Marshall County, they told me, they say that they really don't have a good gravel source either. Their gravel they get is bank run. The county, they say most of their roads are limestone roads. They use limestone rock. The pit, one of the pits that they mentioned they get from is about 4 miles south of Marysville on Highway 77. And they said the problem they have a lot of time is the quality of the material coming out of there has more dirt in it than it does gravel and a lot of fines. The lady I did talk to said there is another pit down around Washington, but it's basically the same quality. So one interesting statement that she did make to me, she said that they've had a lot of calls saying that they sure would like to find gravel like Gage County puts on their roads. And she asked me where we were getting ours, but
we'll
on that. So, they're just, she said that from what she's aware of, there just is not a good gravel source in their county either. So.
Okay.
Thank you.
Thank you. I think I've spoke long enough. Anything else?
We have one other thing on here, the Hickory Road. Deborah keeps visiting with Burlington about that crossing there that's been approved, and I know Burlington's approved it too, and we're trying to get, I guess, get it worked. Go ahead and visit about it, yeah.
Thank you.
I think it's important to note, too, the bathroom update's been done. That's important.
We would love for you to come see it, actually. Deborah Brown, Gage County Highway. And, yes, we do have that crossing is approved to go ahead and upgrade with BNSF. And we are trying to get it on this spring so we can, because we budgeted for it. And so we can upgrade that. And we're working with Minnelli Wagner to adjust the alignment of the Hickory Road to avoid most of the utility poles. And I've been in contact with Norris Public Power about that and some of the how that project is progressing. And we should have something pretty soon for them to look at as well.
So, yeah, I mean, we're having, in our committee, too, we're having discussion all the time here about Hickory Road. So that's still a work in progress, and it's we get a lot of comments out in the public about the Hickory Road. What are you doing with that? And just want to let people know that we're doing what we can right now and stuff, because there's a box culvert and a slab bridge there, too, that we hope to get done this spring that are also in the budget and stuff. So they're working on that, Galen, Deborah, and everything. So
I'd like to comment on that, too. I mean, we're doing a lot of road throughout the county, and I've had some comments to me also, well, what'd you do, forget about Hickory? Well, we have not forget about Hickory, but the scope of that project is so big, you know, that we have to, how do I want to put it, have to
it
work it into
time.
The budget.
It
just
takes time.
Yeah.
Takes
so,
time.
But we for sure have not forgot about Hickory Road. So.
I always say before you can construct a road, you've got to deal with all the utilities first. So, and that's what we are in the progress of doing. And once we get this alignment done and finalized on paper, then the utility in Norris Public Power can actually step forward and start planning their schedule to get those relocated. And we still need to work with Coke on their shutdown period. And we want to make sure we don't interfere with their work and what they have to do. So,
what I'm hearing is constant approval of what you guys at the Highway Department are doing now and how things are finally happening all over our county. And you guys are doing just a fantastic, great job. I'm not hearing the gripes that I was hearing.
That's
so
good to hear.
Thank you very much.
Thank you. All right. Thank you.
The one I would like to add something on the Hickory Road. Myron threw in the word hope in front of that bridge and slab bridge and the culvert. I'd like to just see us take that hope out of there and let's get that done, because this has been, I know I'm 40 years old almost here, and I know this has been around as long as I've been here. and this road is for sure 30 years in the come, and people are supporting it, and I think we need to move forward with it as fast as we can and get this thing going and show the people that we're getting it done, because I think there's big amount of support for it, and people want this done. So I think we're capable of doing it, and we're trying to work it into our budget, but I think we need to keep after it as good as we can because, like I said, I think it's well supported out there.
Yeah, I agree, and we fully intend to work at that. So.
Good? All right. Terry's done. All right. We're going to have a discussion on county communications here. Jane Widhoff.
Matt?
Yes.
Pat and those guys are here from Engage, and I told them I forgot to talk to you about it. Hopefully we can have them around 9:30 because they've got some other commitments.
Well, I can stay all
Sorry.
Day, right?
Can't okay.
No. Wait a second. Oh, well, I don't care. He lied. He said there were donuts, right? There's nothing.
Yeah.
Well, let me just step through here real
whatever
quick.
Whatever you want to do.
You betcha. Yep. Jane Ford will not be here. She had had communication with Dawn. She had something come up, so her presentation will not be here. And we will abide by Supervisor Dorn's wishes, and we'll have Engage come and give their update. You come forward. Yeah. Got so comfortable anyway.
Yeah, I was just in the groove there. So.
Just name and address for the record and you roll.
Pat Radigan, 668 East Dorsey Road, Beatrice, Nebraska. Myself and Steve Hubendick. Are here to present
Bob Sykes
and Bob Sykes. Sorry, Bob. There's extra room up here, guys. We're here to present the quarterly report for Engage. First of all, I'd like to thank you for taking time for us to present the quarterly report to you. We appreciate the trust placed in our organization and the financial support from the County Board of Supervisors, the city, and the citizens of Gage County. We take the charge of being the lead economic development organization for Gage County very seriously and work diligently to use the taxpayers' money in an efficient and responsible manner to promote and develop economic growth in Gage County. Today, there is a renewed high level of enthusiasm, cooperation, and communication between the City of Beatrice, Gage County, the Chamber of Commerce, Main Street, and Engage. We have also reestablished and strengthened our relationship with the State of Nebraska Economic Development Corporation. Working together, using each other's strengths and resources, we can make things happen and create a long-lasting, positive economic impact in the area, which will help us to help existing businesses to expand, new businesses to become a reality, along with attracting new organizations and businesses to locate to Gage County. I'm sure that you've all received a copy of the report.
Did you get that? I don't get here?
Should.
Yeah, I lost it.
I didn't mean to.
Oh, I got that here. So I'm looking for a spreadsheet. Sorry. Yeah. Got that.
Just to kind of update you on what's going on as far as our executive director search, we have received a total of 29 applications for the position of executive director. The time for those applications to be received has expired. We have asked the company that's helping us to interview and put this together, Smart Solutions, to kind of separate these and go through and highlight the strengths and experiences of each one of these applications. And they've broken them down basically into three separate tiers. Tier one, we have six applications, that being the highest tier. Tier two, there are three applications, and in tier three, there are 11. So we will begin the interviewing process here relatively soon. I can tell you by looking at the applications, I'm very, very, very happy and very excited. We have a list of very, very high qualified candidates for this position, and it's probably going to be a very difficult choice to pick the person for this position. So that's very encouraging. Basically, the other thing that we've done is to kind of expand our contacts with Cheryl Brandenburg with Black Hills Energy. She's the head of the economic development staff there, and also Keith Ellis, which is the head of the economic development staff with Nebraska Public Power District. Those guys have been a tremendous help to us during this transitional period when we've been operating without a director. And the board of directors basically has been carrying most of this weight along with Michaela Carlson, who is the assistant that was hired right before we lost our director. So Michaela's done an outstanding job. If you happen to be at the Carnegie Building and you want to swing in there, swing in and say hi to her if you haven't introduced yourself to her. She's a very capable young lady. She's done a great job for us, and she's carrying a lot of weight for our organization, so we appreciate her very much. Are there any questions that I can answer for anybody?
I would just comment. I would encourage everyone to get a chance. It's the third Thursday of every month. Is that right? Get an opportunity. Make sure we don't have a quorum. But sit in on one of their meetings. Very gracious. And the conversations that are there are just excellent. And Myron, you get to see Myron at another meeting. But I appreciate Myron's contact there and your role, too. But I think they work very well and good group of people. And, you know, they're doing this above and beyond their regular jobs, too. So I appreciate that. It takes time. It takes a lot of time.
Yes. We enjoy it.
Comment on our next meeting, the 20th, I believe.
Sure.
We're having this. Pinnacles Bank is helping sponsor it. Our meeting will be before it, and then.
Right. Yeah, we have.
Who's coming to talk?
Our next scheduled board meeting is on February 20th, and prior to that, after that, we're going to have a hosted event by Pinnacle Bank in cooperation with Engage called Community Matters in Rural Nebraska. I can't remember the gentleman's name offhand. He is he's a very experienced person in rural economic development, very enthusiastic. He's going to come and
Chuck Schroeder, yes.
Thank you. Oh, you won. He's going to come and speak to us about rural Nebraska and economic development issues. And we have I think the invitations are going out probably on Friday, so
everybody will get an invitation for that, and the city and a lot of the businesses and a lot of the organizations in the county and trying to finalize that and really appreciate Pinnacle Bank for stepping up and helping sponsor this.
It's a large investment that they're putting into this, and we appreciate it very much. Really encourage everybody to attend. I know the city council, members of the city council will be invited, board of supervisors. There's a number of other organizations that will be there, and individuals from around the area. We'd like to see a lot of people there. I think it's important. We all know the importance of rural Nebraska as far as economic development is concerned with agriculture. This guy is supposed to be a dynamic speaker. I'm really looking forward to that evening. So any other questions I can answer for anybody?
I would just point out that it's not by invitation only. If you don't, if somebody doesn't get an invitation but they're interested.
Right. Good point. Yeah. Anybody's welcome to show up and attend.
Not a question but a comment. Just want to thank you guys for your continued efforts. We knew going into this that it was going to be an up and down deal and there'd be highs and lows just like everything else, and appears as though you guys continue to keep after it, and we appreciate that because this is the lifeblood of the community.
Well, we appreciate that, and I think our board, we're committed. We're all enthusiastic. We see a number of very positive signs on the horizon, and every day you just keep swinging. So we're ready to tackle whatever is put in front of us.
Thank you very much.
Thank you. Appreciate it.
Need a motion to place this report on file?
So moved.
Moved by Lytle.
Second.
Second by Byers. Vote 7-0.
Thank you.
Let's see. Go back. Should we talk communications? Is that what we have the balance of everyone else here for? Mark's pointing.
Shorter time than we are.
Christine's.
The grant.
Law enforcement grant.
Oh, the law enforcement grant. Christina Lyons. Let's see. I need a motion to approve or disapprove having me sign the Nebraska Commission on Law Enforcement Criminal Justice Grants 12-CB-515 and 13-EB-609. Need a motion to approve or disapprove?
I would move to approve.
Moved by Byers.
Second.
Second by Lytle. Christina, what am I going to sign?
This is... just follow-up paperwork from what I was here last time when we redid the budget. This is just the final approval of that.
I didn't
grant.
Forget to sign something because
no,
I signed about six
not,
or eight different
yes.
things that day. Okay.
You did not miss anything. This is just more paperwork stuff that I have to get through.
Okay. Okay. And those amounts, again, look like?
$16,899 would be what we're going to get from the state, and then $5,000.
And that was the community-based grant that was specified for diversion programming, juvenile services programming in our county. And that enhancement grant is, I think there's $600, $700 somewhere in there that is going to pay for myself and another person to go to the juvenile justice conference. And the rest is money for probation for space. Out of the $5,000, I think. So.
Any more questions for Christina? Have a motion and a second. No further discussion. Vote 7-0.
Thank you.
Thanks, Mark.
We could probably pretty quickly do the discussion on the retaining of an architect on the handicap accessible entrance. I understand there is some additional conversation around
maybe
this date.
Maybe we can do discussion first. You bet.
This would be to design an entrance floor plan with a handicap accessibility to improve the existing entrance that we have now at the Sheriff's Office Detention Center. What we're having trouble with, the entrance is so small that we talked about putting a lift to get the people up to that level, and there's just not enough room in that area. So we did get a proposal from Larry Chalisi, architects. He works with the local contractors in Beatrice quite a bit, and his written proposal was for $7,150, and that does include an electrical engineer and a mechanical engineer. He is estimating 46 hours at $125 per hour.
I understand there's some law enforcement had some comment. Gary.
Yeah, I had an idea that had been brought to me, and actually had talked to a couple, two or three other people about it after that, and kind of wanted to have a little bit of discussion with Gus about this in law enforcement committee. I didn't realize it was coming up this quick, but there was some discussion about the fact that maybe we could take the west end of the sheriff's office and do some remodeling, turn that into office space. That way we didn't have to lift people up. We'd have a handicap entrance at ground level, and then we'd, you know, look at doing some other remodeling through the sheriff's office to make that transition work out, and then eventually we'd be able to take the old part of the sheriff's office, which continues to be an expense and a problem, and demolish that, and then be able to build onto that east end. And it, I guess, you know, I don't have all the X's and O's as to how it all plays together, but it was a discussion I kind of wanted to have, and I just wonder, you know, do we want to go forward and spend this money on an architect at this point without discussing this, or, you know, is it a non-starter or something that we shouldn't even look at? You know, I guess this.
Well, Gary, as part of retaining the architect, or is there a plan that's set in stone, or are they open to look at this? Is that part of that? I mean, just a. If we have an architect and we say, hey, look at this, here's option 1, 2, 3, or?
What we did at this time was to show him our current entrance and just show him how, you know, it looks like it would need to be bumped out to make room for handicap accessibility and enough room to put a lift there. So I agree with Gary as far as, you know, checking on that. I would not ever recommend putting any more money into the existing house structure. This would be, you know, the newer part of the building yet where we would put this at. I know I had discussions with Mark before on and Gus about remodeling that area. I think that would work good. It would change a lot of things where if people wanted to go into the sheriff's office for visitation or whatever, we would probably have to have a different way for visitation if we were to include the west end as the main entrance, or handicap entrance, I should say.
I'm always open to exploring what we can do, but I think we're talking about a very extensive project and a lot of money in redoing that end of that building, and I'm not sure I've been shown that we need that office, that office space yet, and we need to address, because of the state of Nebraska saying we don't have a handicap accessible ramp, and they're going to say, hey, When are they going to find us or put it in themselves and just tell us to pay for it? So I really do think that at this point we need to go ahead. But, Gus, I want to hear from you.
Are you sure?
yes, I was unaware of what Gary's going to talk about. Dave and I discussed that on the west side as well. I'm always open to doing something that will help because we are out of space to store. And that's one issue we're going to have. If we turn that into offices, then it's going to open a can of worms for us of where we're going to store what we have there now elsewhere. But I'm open to suggestions, obviously, because we've got to do something. But, again, it'd been nice to had what Dave's got now. If the architect was going to look at that, it'd been nice at least, like they're saying here, Matt's saying, is at the big picture to see what's viable. If we do something bumping out, putting something there, will that work if we do something to the west? I mean, so you kind of quandarum right now where we're going to go. Obviously, Dave's right. The side that I'm in, this is futile to spend more money there because it's about 1917 or something like that. So it's tired. As far as the west side, it's a viable option. We're just going to figure out where we put everything else that we have there. So if you start someplace, you're going to have to a stopping point. And I think that's something we're going to have to sit down and look at real hard. So.
And I don't want to be coy here and use cheap and $7,100 in the same sentence, but this may be our cheapest expense. It's just the architect, because this isn't construction.
No.
This is just architectural fees. So there'll be an additional cost on top of that.
I guess I would like to see this put on hold and get some more information on Gary's suggestion here rather than going ahead and spending the $7,100 for an architect to draw plans for something that may not, it may or it may not be our best option here. Mm-hmm. And to put it on hold for 2 weeks because otherwise if we find that this other option is a viable option, then we've spent $7,100 to draw plans for something that we're not going to use.
I would agree at putting it on hold for at least a couple of weeks and at least explore options for a more permanent long-term solution that, see what it would cost and if that's any direction we go.
This isn't time-sensitive? Okay.
No, not really.
Two more weeks.
I guess I would propose Gary work with a building and grounds committee and shoot your idea through them and come in 2 weeks. And
I would move that we table this for 2 weeks.
Second.
We have a buyer second by Dorn. Any further discussion? Vote. 7-0. We'll come back in a couple weeks.
Yeah, and just get with building and grounds, Gary, and
yep.
Get your idea off there. I'll just knock out a few other things here real quick. Board committees, discussion on those. I'm not proposing any changes. I know Kathy, she expressed to me today how she really loves all the committees and meetings that she goes to.
I just said I wasn't sure I was a good fit for one of my
picking
groups
on you, sorry.
That,
With this discussion, we'll finalize committees in 2 weeks. If anyone has a real rub, and we didn't get a chance to talk about it last meeting, so, where you're at, I think things are working well. My impression is people are comfortable with what they're doing. We've been fairly efficient. It's my opinion. So let me know.
Yes. I like what I'm doing, boss.
but give me feedback and talk to me.
You ready for feedback?
Yeah.
Okay. I respect what Matt has here and I like this. I have no problem with the way we line up because I think it works pretty good. The one thing that I want to see us discuss here really soon is moving to, like Matt has discussed, starting at 7 in the morning and just have an open meeting. And we do these committee meetings running from 7 o'clock to 10 o'clock or whatever it is so that we can all be there and discuss. And it isn't three or four people on each committee that's there. We just open up. We have a meeting of the whole that starts at 7, and we run. And, if you can be there the whole time, great. If you can't, be there for what you can and let it be at that. You know, you can hit your normal ones that you always have, but then if you want to be there for the others, you're able to. Because I would, you know, there's a lot of times I would really like to be here for Road and Bridge, because that is a big part of what goes on in the county, and I would really like to be at that. So, I mean, for what that's worth, I'd really like to see us move forward with doing that.
I would second that, either 7 o'clock in the morning or 6:30 in the evening. I would still like to see some of the meetings go to an evening meeting, and I think that having a committee of the whole in the evening would be a good segue into some evening participation. I know you still will only get the people that are interested in the subject that's being discussed if it affects them, but it certainly makes it easier for people to get to a meeting if they don't have to take off work to do that.
And keep in mind, you know, the committee meetings tend to last 4 to 5 hours on the Friday or Monday that they're held, and a lot of times closer to 5 than 4.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe chew on that a little bit. See, we'll talk about it again. We, you know, we can change things if we need to.
You have a situation, though, as far as finance is concerned, where we go through every one of the bills. We're going to have a separate meeting. Regardless, we can't do that as a committee of the whole unless we go through every single bill as a committee of the whole. And we go through them, approve them. If we have questions, we can send them back to the department of the person who has submitted them. And having a committee of the whole, I don't think that works real good. But the other finance committee people can tell me, Myron, you're chairman.
You don't care.
Well, and I'll just make a quick comment. I know Chris Dunker, he didn't sit through that when we went through all the bills. I don't know if it was that boring or what. And I don't know why. Scott, the first meeting, he sat there and then that he was with us. And this last time, he left early, too, again. I haven't visited with him about why they do that. I can't say it's boring, but it's something I think is really important that we do as a and I don't know if the whole board needs to do that. I don't know how you'd structure it in part of this, but as a group of three or so of us, you really need to do that because we do look at if there's a question, any one of us will take it and we'll pull it out and look at it and discuss it. Why that's
every bill
and stuff. And I can't say it's boring. I don't know, but maybe I'll visit with Scott. I never did visit with Chris. Why he just. He'd sit there for a little while, and then I know sometimes on Mondays, though, there's court, and Chris a few times had to go to cover court. I do know that, but I don't know. I'm not going to say it's boring, but it's detailed, more detailed work for that. But I agree with Gary on the other part is some of these conversations that we do have in this meeting here is a result of what we discussed in the committee meeting, and how much are you missing out on that? I don't know, you know. You don't get some of the detailed discussion that we have here. I mean, what we have in committee, you don't end up having that here. So some of it, you're not have the same. You don't have the same understanding of what some of the discussion's been about. So I will agree with that part, but I don't know how we'd fit in just what Denny said. The bills.
But I think that you could just open up the meeting at 7 o'clock, and you still have a time. You know, this is generally when law enforcement's going to start, and then at 8 o'clock, Road and Bridge will start. And then finance committee will start. But I think you open it up so that if people want to come and go, they can. And I think Terry does a good job. Of course, he always cuts himself off. But he does a good job regurgitating everything that's mm-hmm. taken place. And because it is, there's a lot of things that are discussed there. But, I mean, we can work it out. And it may not work on some of those things. We may have to do something different. We can be creative. And I think that's what we need to keep open here is, you know, we have to do things the way it's always done. If the desire is to be creative and do things differently, let's leave that open.
Roger, is there any reason why we couldn't, during an open meeting, go through each of the bills?
As long as you have a forum when you open up, you may have a mass exodus like the press do. It's an important job, but it's tedious.
Right.
One at a time. I don't think I'll probably sit through that, and that's no disrespect, but Wednesdays are a busy day in district court for our office. So, again, there may be some of that. And again, I think you can be flexible on it. If they start with that in the early morning, they may want to start with the claims at 6 in the morning. Will there be anybody here?
Casey's don't open up till 6, so then he couldn't get his donut beer.
But I mean, you know, you can look at something. That would be the one thing you don't want to get to the point where the purpose is so that everybody has an opportunity to participate in each committee discussion. So, but again, as far as legally, no, there's no.
It is helpful too to have a chairman of a designated committee, so that when something comes in, you can, you know, if it's building and grounds, it goes, where did David go? It could go to Dennis, or, and then if it's road and bridge, contact, you know. So it's nice to have that person who's in charge of that committee to kind of filter some of those things and then work directly with the staff, so we don't have one employee answering to seven people. They kind of know where they're supposed to go.
I think, Matt, just for my two cents worth, I think you still got to have all your committees. I don't think you can go away with them by doing this, but I think it'd be nice to have the discussion there. And then you got one person like Terry to be able to lead the road and bridge section of it. You know, you'd have your committee members or your committee leaders that would be able to, you know, lead the discussion when it's their time frame. But for the most part, you know, everybody can discuss that way.
Got a quick question, I guess, for Don. Then we'd have to advertise this as an open meeting to have more than the four there, right? Okay.
And we for the most part, advertise our meetings anyway. We just have to be a little more formal about it, but that's
right. Well, we don't advertise our committee meeting. I mean, people know about them, but we don't have to advertise them legally, I guess.
No, we don't have, but it's on our agenda when it goes out. That's when they are.
Okay.
They
have to be more
formal. If you have a sensitive issue that pops up, like a personnel issue, you're going to have to ask the public to leave if they're in attendance.
All right. So we'll continue that discussion. This will be on the agenda in 2 weeks, but independent of that, we can continue that discussion. And then the other thing for discussion was the standing rules. No one had contacted me requesting any changes. If they come up.
This is one question. I wonder if
rule number two.
Matt, you should add, besides Region 5 services, Region 5 systems.
Say that again?
Region 5 systems. Region 5 services, developmental disabilities. Region 5 systems is mental health. I'm on both of those boards and chairman of both those boards.
System, okay, so we'll change that.
I'd like to continue serving on that.
So that's another one that's not on here, you're saying?
Mm-hmm.
Oh. And if someone wants to shift around or do something different, if John wants to be the member of everything but Region 5 services and systems, you just speak up, John, and we'll...
No, I'm good.
And it does take a commitment to go to those, because there's travel involved, there's an additional meeting, so again, it does take additional time. Okay. So back to standing rules. Anything right offhand? And if not, we'll come back in 2 weeks again. Look at them again. This is how we're operating. If something needs to be changed. I hope that we've got all the grammar correct. Heck, we do this every year.
Yeah. Heck, last year we had three grammatical questions. I didn't.
Maybe we should send this to the high school to let the English class go over it.
Spell check.
Okay. So take action on those. Let's see here. Gosh, you're going to be around for everything, right? Communications and... Okay. Let me just double check here. You're going to move this to two... You're going to move that to 2 weeks, right? Make sure that's on there in 2 weeks. Let's discuss communications. Mark, I'll have you come forward. And Mike Jeffries, is that correct? Okay. Saw a face I didn't recognize, but so I'll just turn the floor to Mark, and we'll discuss about our county communications.
As you know, we've been talking about this quite some time, and we've come together at the last committee meeting and kind of made a decision. We've got a couple of choices here. One was presented to you by Doug Ostergaard of First Wireless Communications about a month ago. We've researched that quite intensively, and then we've also researched several times the statewide radio system. So it's Today we've asked Mike Jeffries. He's a public safety systems manager with the State of Nebraska Office of the CIO to be here and kind of give you an overview of that statewide radio system. I know a couple of you visited at the NACO conference with some of their members of his staff. And I think we're at a point, I'd like to present this today and then we'll discuss in the committee again, but we'd like to see something done with the system. We know that it's 13 years old. We were having problems. We continue to have problems because of some water towers being replaced in Cortland and Claytonia. Part of the current system will be out of service, the Cortland probably in the next 60 to 90 days. So that part of that system that's already having a problem will no longer work. And then right after that, Claytonia will be changing their water tower, and we'll have to take that system off their old water tower because both of those, once their new water tower is in service, their old water tower comes down. So that's a huge part of the system that that will be missing in that part of the county that we already have problems in anyway. So I guess at this time, I do have some packets I handed out to some members that were at the committee. I don't know. I think
got those. There's a good article in the first
couple pages of there. It kind of brings up 5 points of us that we also agree with about the statewide radio system. And so at that, I think I'll turn it over, unless there's anything else you want me to talk about right now, I'll turn it over to Mike Jeffries.
We don't just get a bail out, right?
I'm not leaving.
I'd like to know what your points are with your
name. Thank you.
This is just a real high-level handout for you. Public safety communications is a contact sport. What I mean by that is it's real easy to solve communications. You buy some technology and you install it. Get your first responders some radios, they can communicate, right? Not necessarily. Can they communicate well is really the question. And those are the kind of issues that we've worked at for a long time. I've been in this business for a long time, even though the statewide radio system is relatively new for everybody, and you've heard some of the challenges probably in the media with the State Patrol. The learning curve is pretty steep for some agencies. Imagine being on a system, old 1950s technology, and then you get thrust into the 21st century. You can imagine some of the challenges. You operate your handheld calculator, then you're given an iPad. Here, use this. What do I do with it? You know. So, this is just a really high-level draft, and there's more info on the back. I put some numbers on there for you. But this isn't a competing proposal. It's simply explaining in a nutshell what I can do for you on the statewide radio system. So it's really, I need to talk to your first responder agencies, and what I've done so far is talk to Mark and your sheriff and chief deputy. We have a radio in your dispatch center that the PD operates for interoperability on the system. That's a step. But what I want you to understand, and I think Mark's done some work here already with you guys, where are you going? What does it cost? What does it get you? So you want to know cost, what's the investment, and a time frame, I think, to get it done. Okay, and really I'm just here to answer some questions. Where do you want to go from here? Because I can put a lot more detail together for you so you have a very clear understanding of what this gets you. What I talked to Mark about already was, well, you could go a couple of directions. You could fix your old system, your current system. That's an option, certainly is. Don't overlook all the agencies that continue to need support out of the dispatch center. Your fire departments, who are VHF, UHF, that isn't even a question. It's you got to continue supporting agencies that already need communications. How do you do that? You need to invest in some newer equipment. What's the right step? So you know you've invested good money in a good system that's going to serve you for a period of time. The coverage map that I put here on here is a real simple picture for the Blue Springs Tower. Don't look at this as, well, this is the coverage we get throughout the entire county. This would be an additional site that becomes part of the system that Right now we're talking about your sheriff's department would use. And we're also in partnership, maybe I should give you a little background on who I am and what we do as an agency, the Office of the Chief Information Officer. I've been in public safety communications since 1989, when I was a radio technician for the State Patrol. So I'm very familiar with State Patrol communications. We work with that agency a lot at all levels, at the technical level all the way up to the colonel level on a lot of different issues. But we also have a system user group that we created by virtue of doing this statewide system. One of the smartest things we ever did was create the system user group, and that's simply a group of people who use the system. We talk about issues on a regular basis. And I wasn't trying to be flippant in my first comments about it's very easy to solve communications. It is. Very easy. The most difficult thing about solving communications is you have different agencies now playing in the same sandbox. So what it takes is basically a culture shift and some expectation that there's an adjustment in how you do your procedures. Your sheriff's department can use this system just like it's their system. Talk, their own talk resources, the coverage, their radios, they can talk to each other, dispatch just like they're being dispatched now. But that's not the end of it. Now you have the ability to talk to more agencies than you ever could before. That causes a ripple effect across agencies. So some of the things we've learned in working with agencies on playing in the same sandbox is those procedures are hugely important. Training is the single most important issue that you'll ever encounter with public safety communications. So we're here to support that, but I just want you to have the right expectations about taking this step. New technology and what these radios are capable of, this is a very advanced system, does a lot of cool stuff. But what we try to do, and we can, again, take you through a very detailed planning process, and I won't bore you with all those details unless you have specific questions. You can ask me any question. I'm not afraid of any question. I'll answer any question you have, including challenges some agencies have had on the system. But basically, in a nutshell, this proposes to add one tower site that gets networked back to our call processor in Lincoln. We would have had a couple of radios to your existing dispatch consoles. So right now, the police department is not part of the equation as far as upgrading equipment, but that's going to be a future discussion. And think of that in context of eventually everything has a life cycle and has to be upgraded. So what we'd want to do is have a conversation about what's the next step for your dispatch center. It's perfectly fine that your police department doesn't have to replace their system, their radios, their frequencies, their dispatch consoles right now. We have a way to fit that in, and that's tying radios to your dispatch console that would talk to the system so that your sheriff's department can be dispatched. And then it's
about
buying some radios.
How about our fire department and EMS, and I see we have a representative here, and how this affects them.
Yeah. And
because they do go out into the county to provide
right.
some of their services, and
right.
how is this all going to work?
And we need that dynamic conversation so you have really the gist of the whole scope of what we're talking about here. Your fire department continues to be dispatched the way they are now. If and when you upgrade your console system, one of the very important things we make sure we address is how do you continue to maintain communications for those legacy systems? I never assume everybody's getting on this system. That, in fact, makes no sense for everybody to get on this type of system. Volunteer firefighters typically would not get on a system like this because they don't necessarily need a system like this to meet their communications needs. They're usually on scene. And if they can reach dispatch with a frequency, that serves their needs. So it's striking the right balance. For Gage County and Beatrice and the other communities, all the first responders involved, they may use their frequency as they're currently doing it, but don't overlook the fact that as things migrate forward, is that still the right fit for the fire department, the fire districts? Yeah, maybe it is. It is. So I'm willing to have that conversation on all kinds of different levels. So don't assume we're all proposing everybody get on the system. It's a step for law enforcement. In fact, we've got most state agencies on the system right now. We've got the U.S. Marshal, FBI, and federal agencies, and some local agencies using the system. It's a good learning process because every type of agency has their perspective and brings to us a different dynamic. You touch something and you change it. You add a local agency on the system like we're talking to you guys about right now. What's the ripple effect to the surrounding law enforcement agencies? I'm having a little bit different conversation with Nemaha County Sheriff because right now they want to buy radios that just for interop only. And we have a radio at their dispatch center that talks on the system too. But it's just simply a learning process to help first responder agencies fit together in how they need to work together. So I don't want to gloss over any details that you might have questions about. But if you look at the back of the sheet, that gives you the real general cost in a nutshell. It costs a certain amount of money to add a tower site. And that's the radio equipment. There's a couple of racks of equipment that go in the tower site that, again, ties back to our master site, as we call it, the call processor in Lincoln, that basically manages all the traffic that happens on the system. It's a multiple-channel base station rack. We create talk groups for your law enforcement agencies. We discuss with them how they need to interact with the state patrol, other law enforcement. The purpose of adding the site is to enhance the system in this area so that you would basically have enhanced coverage. Maybe, did you talk to them about how we drove around the county and basically tested portable radio coverage? Okay. So there wasn't really any place that we couldn't talk on the system with the existing towers, but that's not what we try to do is the whole planning process to find the right fit for you guys. So having a tower addition to the system makes sense, but we don't restrict your access to the rest of the system. We're going to have another tower near Cheney. We already have one near Sterling. There's one over just on the west side of the county that over at we call it the Beatrice Tower, but it's in the NET Tower over by Heartline. What did you call it?
Ellis.
Okay, Ellis. So everybody calls towers different things. But basically, you have access to the coverage of the system. The radios decide how they're going to roam in the system, and the system keeps track of that. But the work we do with your user agencies is developing talk groups. The technical side of the radios, how they're installed, is very important. And training, practice, and more training. And practice. Again, we're changing something for you. It can fill a need very well, but it's going to take practice. Because is the State Patrol used to talking to your deputies? How? This changes that. Makes a lot cleaner, smoother, but still, we change something. People have to adjust to that and learn to play in the same sandbox. So we've been doing that statewide for quite a while, even across the borders with other states. Questions?
Well, as I'm looking through you, I'm going to look at Gus, and I'm going to look at Brian Dakey and Mark, and Mike Oliver from the city, is that the gentleman? Here's government requesting another committee. I think we need to probably move through this, make sure we're touching all people. And Mark, I know it's 3 and 33. Is that probably the best way to touch? Not worth.
This wouldn't concern.
Okay. So are the four groups in this room, and again, I'll be sensitive to the fact that your bosses meet on a different day, and I'm not trying to incite that we tell you what to do, but probably you four or the four groups just need to get together and come with some proposals. It'd be nice to have three. Five would be better, so we have something to look at and what the considerations and costs are going to be. What this gentleman's speaking to of making sure that we get the right system. We don't want to go on the cheap and then we end up with a cheap system. Of course, we don't want to buy something that we're not going to use fully either. I think it's, give us several options. You're the experts out there using it. Give us some feedback. I think there's been a defined issue that we have to deal with. We don't want to have gaps in coverage and things because it's important to you and it's happening to you.
Right, and I think we need to look, where were we, where are we now, where do we want to be, and what's going to happen in the future? Who's going to be able to maintain the system for us in the best way as we need upgrades, as we need maintenance? How do we do this to make sure that we don't end up not doing anything, and then 5 years from now we're going to have to spend another $300,000 or $400,000 because we didn't do anything? And I think it's very important that that's part of the conversation.
Is that group, the communication group that we have with the interlocal agreement with the city for the services, is that's, I'm thinking that's probably the best place for those people to continue to meet and then come.
It should be.
Yes.
That's the contract. I mean, that's a group.
Yep.
With the contract.
Okay.
What are some of the challenges that the other agencies are facing? I mean, I know there's a grievance been filed by the Troopers Union.
Yeah, the Troopers Union, I haven't read it, but the Troopers Union filed a grievance against the State Patrol Administration, the gist of it being, hey, you gave us radios, we don't know how to use it, it makes us unsafe. Not clear.
And that's the only issue is training?
Oh, for the patrol?
Yeah.
Well, no, a lot of it's perception. There are some coverage areas around, like, say, Plainview, Ansley, certain areas of the state. No system covers 100%. Right. So what they had to do was get accustomed to their low-band system. Maybe old system covered about 65, 70% of the state. The new system, excuse me, covers more than 95% of the state. But it what changed in my area, you know, is what people have to focus on. So, but once we did the whole statewide coverage assessment, I've also spent a lot of time driving around with troopers so that we could inspect how their antennas were installed. There were some practices, people getting bad behavior in a hurry sometimes, and then you have to instruct them on some real basic radio operation. Quit doing that thing you're doing, continuing to mash on the button when you get a bonk or something like that. So some of the basics, the number one issue being training, and if you've read anything about the Alliance incident, Pawnee County or Plainview when the guy was going wacko driving heavy equipment around, all those issues tie back to training.
But I guess...
However, go ahead.
Well, if it's a training issue, I have some difficulty seeing how that would lead into a grievance. I mean, you'd think, you know, if my people haven't been trained, I'm going to train them or see that they get trained. It ain't going to become a grievance, but
right.
Go ahead.
I think it's openly acknowledged that training, bringing a user agency like that on a brand new system, training was not done well initially.
Good.
And I think that's a legit gripe. I think it's a really huge, important gripe. Now, that's not to throw anybody under the bus. It should be openly acknowledged that this is an important issue. There are some areas that do not cover well. And so we're always looking at what the next step is. In some cases, we discovered we had shadowing off big broadcast towers that, based on the coverage prediction, didn't jive. So we had some discussions with the vendor about that and came up with some solutions for that. But the three biggest issues are the vehicles, certain coverage areas, and training, the biggest one being training. And that's just flat out honest, I think. I think we need to be completely honest about challenges like that and perceptions. Some of the importance of having the user group is that you can have those open discussions and educate people about issues. The system itself communicates back to the user. It's no longer the case that with this system, pushing the button on the radio is a push-to-talk. We still call it a push-to-talk, but what it actually is a request to the system for a resource. And the system says, okay, you have a resource, or I'm busy at the moment, I will let you know. Then the user lets go of the button, and the system responds back, typically in a second or two, and goes, beep, beep. User has to know what those tones mean, you know? So there's the training aspect of using the technology of the system. The system right now will support many, many, many thousands of users more than it has on it right now. I'm a big believer that sometimes difficulty in a system is a learning opportunity. And we've had several incidents where we've been able to go back. We have a We have an application that lets us look into the system operation. We can see every user in the system, every ID, what they did, when they did it, and who they did it with. So we have a mountain of information that we digest and then turn back into discussion points with our user agencies. Again, we don't shake our finger at anybody. Everybody's learning. Both, what you'll find with this, if you take this step forward, is your sheriff's department and our state patrol and our other state agencies, including Nebraska Public Power, depending on the incident, you know, down power line, anybody could be a first responder and be involved in an incident.
Now, is this system co-owned with NPPD?
It is. They own 50% of it, right. Yes, with our office. And that's been a unique partnership. I think we're fortunate as Nebraska, since public power is public, that let us do this interlocal agreement more effectively than maybe some other states could have with private utilities. But we do our business very differently. We deal with public safety. That's who I deal with. And that's the vast majority of the users on the system. And NPPD deals with public utilities. But how we conduct our user discussions is basically we're both in the same boat, and all of us are in the same boat when it comes to how agencies use a system. I have a very simple objective. This system was bought and paid for by the taxpayers of Nebraska. The expectation should be, what use does public safety get out of this system? The system's paid for. It's supported by user fees. The state agencies pay the vast majority of that cost. And we have a user rate that goes in consideration of any enhancements. I like the way the cost model was developed because it keeps it simple and flexible. I can discuss with you the numbers case by case and anybody else. We're talking about adding a site. That is in consideration of the user rate. Ideally, I'd like to see it be zero, but I don't know. It's simply, what does it take to cover the cost of the system?
And what are some of the other challenges that some of the other agencies are facing with this system?
Well, most of the other agencies don't have the same challenges, frankly. We created a trouble reporting system so that any user can get online and tell us anything they want about what happened, where, and when, and all that kind of stuff in their perspective. And then we follow up on that. We follow up on every single trouble report. Now, we own that. We created that. We wanted firsthand information from the users. The State Patrol submits the majority of those reports, by far.
Now, are there other states or municipalities that are having trouble with a similar system? Or
Yes. Everybody goes through the same challenges. Everybody. It's a new technology. It takes a lot of due diligence to make sure your users have the right expectations, and they don't always want to change,
right.
Frankly.
And they're using the same technology, the same brand of system?
Well, I'd say our peer states are probably right next door to us, so that's beneficial. I've had lots of conversations with those states over the year, South Dakota, Colorado, Missouri, very similar. But we also have similarities with Kansas and Colorado as well. Iowa's still trying to figure out where they want to go, but we have conversations with them as well. We're simply talking about a trunk digital system, and the very nature of that type of system has the same issues everywhere. It works very well when you get everybody settled into the system, but there's a learning curve. The learning curve is different for every type of user agency. We have maybe a couple of Department of Agriculture users. They have their function inspecting at the borders and that sort of thing. Game and Parks conservation officers have a little bit different expectation what they want in the system. The State Patrol has a different expectation what they want in the system. So that's why it's really important for the users on an ongoing basis to discuss these issues, because sometimes it's simply how the user agency behaves or doesn't quite understand what to do in a certain incident, that they run into difficulties. That's been a great educational tool for everybody, especially the agency that caused it to begin with. So I don't know if that answers your question. I want to drift off track here.
But I got another one. When was the statewide radio system designed, and when was it purchased, and when was the technology developed for this system?
Well, the technology has been around for over two decades, but the P25 digital standard that we're using currently has been, 15 years in the making, where the vendors and public safety officials constantly meet on what kind of features they want the technology to support. The emergency button, talk groups, text messaging, all that kind of cool stuff that you can do on a digital system. We started this process for the third time back in 2007, and we went through the usual big, massive RFP process where you bring in all the stakeholder agencies, and that's when NPPD started getting interested in, hey, we have a system that's old, too, that we need to replace, and maybe we ought to see what you guys are up to, so maybe we could join together. And they got involved early on in the process. That helped us write the RFP so that it would fit not only what we had as resources. We have network expertise, frequency expertise in towers, a lot of things, public safety. But what vendor would best fit our need for developing and owning, managing, maintaining a big statewide system, where both we and NPPD have similar expertise but different expertise. They're both very good at managing networks and all those other things, and they're very good at being hands-on with how they support their systems. So in 2007, the system was funded. The governor supported it. The need wasn't that difficult to recognize. Gee, we're all in different systems, and we can't talk to each other, and 9/11 and da-da-da, you know, all that sort of thing. Not to gloss over, but you know all that. So when the RFP was let, we got three very, very big proposals and arrived at the winner, Motorola, and then we commenced to building the system in phases, starting in the western side of the state, moving east. A little bit unconventional, but I think that was an effective way to do it. And we also partnered with some federal agencies to bring spectrum frequencies into the mix. So this system is built on partnerships. The success of it is building on those partnerships. Because I don't see you guys coming on the system any differently than how we would deal with anybody else. It's a partnership. So what I would spell out in a service agreement to Gage County is, for one, what's the intent? The next step being, what's the planning process to lay everything out? Spell that out in a service agreement so you know what we're doing for you, you know what your obligations are, and then as we move forward, issues come up. How do you get help? How do we resolve issues? How do we move forward? What's the future of the other public safety agencies, their considerations? Because, again, it isn't all about everybody being on the same system. It's about, can they talk when they need to? And we support a variety of methods to do that that go beyond just this system, because we're also responsible for interoperability around the state. So that includes this system, but it includes a lot more that, let's say, volunteer fire districts care about. So it's that and a lot more. But the basic premise here is, we've defined resources. We can provide the tools to have users effectively use those resources if they're trained and if they're willing to use those resources together for their own needs and for interagency, mutual aid, whatever, all kinds of variety of circumstances, right? Lots of lessons learned, and I think what goes back to your point is, what are some of the challenges? Well, frankly, having gone through some basic retraining with troopers, They learned some things about the radios they didn't really grasp initially. That alleviated a lot of frustration. The coverage holes in certain areas are still frustrating, so we're working on those areas. And that's the importance of adding a site here, too, because what does a local agency want? They want not, this is mobile coverage, mobile radio, like 50-watt radio, but a portable radio is more like 5 watts, okay? So it's got about the tenth the power, and portable coverage isn't going to be this. It's going to be something smaller than this. But what I wanted Mark to see driving around the county is just get an idea of what the system already does, and it'll take more testing. And if you go forward with this plan, there's an interest in in-building coverage. This is a mobile on-street coverage system. But testing in-building coverage would happen after this site would go in. And there are different methods to enhance in-building coverage. So you take a step, and then there's more to the picture if you want to go certain directions. But right now we're talking about a basic need for your sheriff's department, how to move forward with that, and your police department continues doing what they're doing, and we take a step forward. And we all learn from it. Infrastructure, we support the infrastructure. Radios, you continue to maintain the radios. We are working with every radio shop around the state to help their expectation. We're raising the bar. There are certain things we need them doing. If they're going to support you on the system, there are certain things I have to have them doing, and only that. They don't just, I've heard the horror stories of how radios were installed horribly and this, that, and the other thing. We've heard it, too, from our agencies. I'll never go back to that radio shop. But they're an important partner because they're the ones who, I don't have an army of technicians, so they'd be the ones supporting you guys as well. But then it becomes a partnership not only with us, but also the radio shop. What are our expectations for how equipment gets installed and your first responder agency? So I don't want to belabor this, but I do want to answer your questions thoroughly, at least at this point, knowing there's going to be a lot more detail to come.
Now, you do pay all the costs also in the form of a grant.
We don't deal with the grants. You might want to talk to Neil about that. But
There are some grants available. No, I'm serious.
There are. And in fact, a lot of the, and I'll treat your question seriously, there, a lot of the inter-op radios for the Rock Talk Group plan that we're implementing statewide, a lot of those were grant-funded. The whole southeast region, PET region, radios were funded through grants.
So when we meet together, when we come together, you'll share that information on those sources so that we have that. As
grant,
we look at 300 to 500,000,
it comes out
and smacks me in the face. And
yes. Yes, I'll throw a figure out for you today, $500,000. $500,000. So, and I'm glad you brought that up because I meant to bring it up. Because I don't want to overlook the fact that there's some work that probably has to be done at the tower site. And we've discussed that with Mark a little bit. It just takes a little more digging and looking and going through our checklist of items. It's the nice thing about this, and I don't have anything to sell. What I try to do to the best of my ability is give you a very good appreciation for I want to answer your questions, and I want you to be confident you're making an informed decision. It's that simple. You know, whatever you choose to do, make an informed decision, because a lot of things can work.
We appreciate it. We just need to come together, and so we have more information available to everyone, and we're all on the same page.
Right.
And I'm very concerned. I want to make sure that Brian and the city, that we're cooperating together. And if we need to bring the PD into this to do it better, let's do it. So,
okay. And I'd be happy to work with all your agents.
Appreciate it.
I have a question, and it might not be for you. Maybe you or Mark. Where does the highway department fall into this?
County highway?
Yes, as far as the radio systems. Where are we going to fall? Where are they at?
How are they being dispatched? I'm assuming they have their own frequencies?
They're currently on a UHF rented system.
Oh, rented system. Okay.
The tower.
So they're not involved into this one,
correct,
then?
Correct.
So maintenance would still have to be done
through their lease is what they currently have. And we are looking, once we get past this point, we haven't left them out of the, you know, we listed that before as one of the things we want to look at because they pay a monthly fee.
Right.
And we'd like to try to get away from that.
I mean, how much extra cost is going to be incurred to include them then down the road?
You already have a UHF system that is having problems. I mean, it's been around a while, and it has its life cycle. But what can you make use of from that old system? You have frequencies. You have base stations. How might that be repurposed to continue serving not only the fire districts but also county roads that Mark just said was on UHF also? You have a lot of UHF frequencies. So that would be something that I would suggest you also consider, not just what's it take to get on the statewide system, but what are those other pieces we need to be addressing at the same time. And that's why I like to estimate just a little high, and $500,000 is quite high, but I don't think it would cost that much to simply get on this system, but there are those other pieces to deal with. They're important.
Mark, our current system is how old, as I look at it? And in your experience, how often do agencies typically update their systems or do what we're doing?
Every 15 years, probably. We use equipment till the wheels just fall off.
So we're there.
Yeah.
Very near.
Yeah.
I think a couple of key points with our current system, our current space that we're having problems gaining access to. So our preparatory system on a tower that isn't ours. And then those other sites, like I said, the Cortland site that's coming down, the Claytonia site that's coming down, and to have to relicense them sites and reallocate the equipment with other towers is what we're trying to eliminate doing. But like we said, we have that on our punch list of things as the highway department and continue to use some of that equipment to support the fire departments as well.
So these towers are coming down and putting new ones up. They're not available.
Because of the design of the water tower, because of the design of the new water towers, the only space we have is one space up top. And our antennas, our system, current system, does not recommend putting the antennas up that tall because you're defeating the purpose of having a local voting site then. And we're only allowed one antenna and not our little Yagi antenna on the side or anything like we have now. So we still would be allowed one antenna on the top at Cortland. We haven't got into negotiations with Claytonia yet for that, but so we are currently. I have an antenna up in the attic here that we don't use. We're going to put on top of that Cortland water tower and run the cable that we already have. That's part of the agreement that they'll do that. So that's not going to cost us anything to put an antenna up there. So if we do look forward of continuing the fire department service or highway department, we will have that antenna up there. So it's a good time to do it now while they're doing it, and they're going to do it for free. And we have the parts to do it, so we're going to go ahead and do it. So luckily we have some inventory of spare antennas and things that I've kept over the years. So
your group continued to meet. Appreciate the information you gave us today. The request I would have is that any time the communication group meets, if you could just send an email to everybody, so if one or two of us have an opportunity to be there, if we want to be there, at least give us the opportunity.
We currently have a group that's, I think, is the chairman of the board, the mayor, police chief, sheriff, fire chief, and myself, and then whoever else those designees want to bring. That's the committee I would recommend we move this forward to because it involves the city and the county and the first responder agency. So.
Okay.
But I hope we're all in agreement. I'd like to see us move forward on the statewide system, and I think the sheriff, if he wants to diddle that or whatever, but I think at this point we'd like to see us move forward towards that direction of the state system. So.
Well, the gentleman that came and spoke about a month ago was telling us how that was not the way to go, was what I got from what he had to say, and so I'm just a little bit...
I don't think he was aware at the time we had not done the testing yet because their proposal to get on this system included adding three more sites to Gage County.
And I've talked to Doug quite a bit about this as well. I assume it was Doug Ostergaard?
Yes.
Okay, with First Wireless. And even our Motorola rep had his own idea about what you guys needed to fit the need, et cetera, et cetera. I think that's all good because you need to kind of bounce through all those little bumps along the way to, well, I get this opinion, I get this opinion, I get this opinion. Well, the only two opinions I had was you can fix your existing system, and that's not necessarily a bad thing, and I touched on that earlier. If you go this direction, there are certain caveats that you need to understand, but here's what I can do and how it fits into what you need. Now, the radio shop, I mentioned that partnership concept. And I think Doug didn't probably realize, and neither did our Motorola rep, just driving around the county with a portable radio. And I don't talk about this system in terms of guaranteeing you portable coverage and that sort of thing. You be convinced, whatever you need to be convinced. We'll go drive around. You go, you see for yourself, okay? I'm not trying to convince you of anything. But that design, any choice, what does that get you with that UHF track, Doug's plan, versus doing it this way, which we discussed also includes dual band portable radios, because your deputies still need to switch over and be able to talk to others who wouldn't be on this system. Your dispatch still needs to be able to dispatch for people who would be on the system and those who wouldn't be. So just trying to cover the whole picture, there really is no one absolute right or wrong answer. So what does it cost? What does it get you? It's the right perspective to say, where does this get us in the future? Because you're laying groundwork for something else that's possible later on that you're not ready to deal with right now, probably, which is perfectly fine. I think we have to openly acknowledge, I think it's perfectly fine that the police department doesn't have to feel like they're being drug into this right now. But if they're ready to be talking about it, we've had conversations about their dispatch consoles and where they go next, et cetera. And it isn't all about Motorola, being on a Motorola system, being on a statewide system. So, yeah. So I think I don't, it's not a competing plan, I guess. And I'd be happy to stand up here with Doug as well, and we talk about things very frankly, because I, you know, it's not like
the three of us
yeah.
have met Doug
So
after this point too, so
right. So I don't think you have to feel like, well, I'm going to have those guys come in because we're not going to get the whole story from those guys over there.
So Mark, in the group, is 2 weeks too early to try and put something together for an update? Would a month be better? To get together.
I think we need to come up every 2 weeks. I think we need to continue to meet. Okay. One of my biggest concerns is we're having problems now, and it's just going to get worse over the next 60, 90 days. A timeline, we didn't really touch on a timeline, but for this system and licensing equipment and installation, we're talking 4 to 6 months. It, when we throw the switch that says this is what we want to do, we have a 4 to 6 month window for this as an operation. And as you can see, we've spent a lot of time, and if we do choose this way, until we get it installed and stuff, it would probably be my full-time position to see this through, I imagine. I'm not going to have a lot of time to do anything else, so until we get it up and going. Once it's up and going, the nice thing about it is that I have 7 less sites to manage than I do now, so that's huge. And so that will come the state's responsibility. So.
Mr. Hawkins, you don't have any vacations coming up, do you?
You never know.
I did.
All right. Well, but I think that's important. We're a committee with that. Obviously, involve the city. They're dispatching, and you know, we've got a countywide issue. We got to solve here. So,
would it be helpful to have both me and Doug and Mark and whoever needs to be part of the discussion just have that all at the same time?
Yeah. Doug's company, First Wireless, would be our vendor and our installer.
We work with them a lot on all kinds of.
So that's not leaving. So he's still buying into this system. You know, he was totally surprised the day we finished. That was one of my first calls. The day we finished the testing was, Doug, you need to see this, and he was really shocked too that how well this system, because we went from them proposing 3 sites down to 1 site, and so that's a $600,000 savings.
We right simply there, work so. With whatever radio shop you like. Whatever your choice is, we'll work with all of them. The infrastructure equipment we would deal with. And then you can buy the radios through the radio shop. And we have a certain standard that we adhere to. We spec the equipment. You can buy it from them. They'd be programming it. They'd work directly with us on getting it done. So that's sort of, we all work on this together, basically, and they become more knowledgeable about the system too, which is very important for us. So,
do Keep coming back every 2 weeks.
And we'll I heard 2 weeks.
Together. We'll get another meeting together.
Okay.
Keep that at the forefront of everyone's mind.
We can get you office space here if we need to.
Well, it's getting better. First it was 800,000. Now we're down to 500,000.
Yeah, but it's
a couple more meetings.
The very first meeting we had, he told us it was less than 300,000, and then he kept going up, at least, and now we got him heading the right direction.
So, yeah. About 10 more meetings, we'll be ready to sign.
Let's just keep asking questions, and, you know, when you do, it's amazing how much you can save. So.
Sure.
Yeah.
Okay. We do have, and we talked about grants, and some of that money that would have been available for this, the region has already allocated towards the microwave system. So one thing we have to keep in mind, there's multiple systems going on right now with the statewide interoperability, that if we take the money off of the one side of the system and put on this system, we're still going to have to fund the other part of the system. So a lot of that money, and I'll explain that so you know.
Hey, why don't we think positive instead of negative?
Yeah.
Let's think positive of what we can accomplish and what we can get and not what we can't. Okay, Mark?
Yep.
Think positive.
I've already applied for another grant that we're working on. So
who's the treasurer of that renal group or the regional group? Who's the treasurer there?
I'm the chairman of that.
Mark is.
Of that group.
I didn't even mention FirstNet, and I won't.
Yeah, that's
a different discussion.
Another discussion of interoperability.
Okay. All right. Thank you all very much. Okay. We'll come back and we'll do this again in a couple weeks.
Time, and thanks for the questions and things that we can try to work this out.
So. Hey, Mike. Mike?
Mark. Yes.
I think probably you didn't mention FirstNet this time, but when we meet again in 2 weeks, it might be not a bad idea just to touch on it briefly so that everybody's got kind of a concept, knows what the concept is and what it is, just so it isn't totally back here where they're not seeing it at all.
Yeah.
Some of us have had conversations, but there's three or four that haven't. So.
Yeah. Happy to talk about all things public safety.
Yeah.
Thanks, Mike.
All right, you bet.
Yeah, I hear you. Next, let's discuss. Looks like we got to discuss regarding the county contracts between Saline and Dawson regarding contracting inmates in other counties. Gus, let's discuss this.
All right, we're going to discuss this again. At the last committee we had, Gary and I were talking, and we decided it's time to bring this to a head. Basically, all this is going to do is lock in a price for us. We're going to continue to do business like we always have. Saline County, the difference on the two contracts, they're very similar. Dawson's a little more thorough in what they put on there. They'll provide, matter of fact, he just called. I want to know if there's anything else they can do for me while we're at meeting, but they're just going to provide transportation. They're in Lincoln, well, a good half part of the week anyway, because they bring federal prisoners back and forth. So there's no problem for them to transport. They go out, they'll even bring them back for me. Saline County, talking to Sheriff Moore, he said, I'm going to put it in writing. We do like we do now. If I'm strapped for staff, he'll get somebody over here, meet Cataline, pick somebody up for us. So, the medical handle the same. As a matter of fact, I've been getting medical bills already from Saline County. I have for quite some time. They're all, the boards have all approved Medicaid rates. So we submit that, and the agencies or the clinics they use over in Saline County send me the bill direct with our Medicaid rate deduction just like I would here. That hasn't changed any. Nothing's really going to change. The difference is they're $45 in Dawson and $50 here at Saline County. And obviously they're closer. So we use them quite a bit more often here just for the sake of, like Roger pointed out, attorneys, which they have to be mindful when we start doing things like this on a regular basis, they need to call and make sure where they're at, because one made a trip over there. Someday, I think, in not too distant future, probably see some video conferences, save a lot of trips back and forth to attorneys and for us. Obviously, this is not the direction I wanted to go, necessarily my first choice of Washington County, Kansas, because of the huge savings. But I'm bowing down to my legal counsel. I want his opinion. And the AG's office, and we could do it. It's legal to do. Other county out west has done it for 8 years, had no problems. But Roger points out, and there is, when you cross state line, you might have an issue. And so it's already enough of a hassle the way it is. I don't want to add to it. So we're going to go ahead, and my recommendation is just a contract with these two. Saline would be our primary, and then if something comes up, like they start filling up with federal prisoners here a while back, I'll probably get the boot. And I want somebody for backup, and that would be Dawson County. Yes,
Dawson County, what city is that located?
Lexington.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, and I think we need to explain too. This isn't a housing. This is, we are not taking all Gage County prisoners and we're going to house them there.
No.
Explain what this is used for. Yeah.
We're going to do the same thing. I've been working with jail standards, and I heard that Jefferson County was looking at trying maybe doing their bond issue. I talked to Sheriff Sorensen, and obviously he knows what I do. This is not going to fly anymore. We just can't all be building. So I talked to Sheriff Moore, and I said, you know, and I think I talked to Matt and Gary, we ought to look at just doing something kind of a semi-regional. Being Saline's built already, it's newer, it's larger. We could start using them. So I believe they've already signed a contract in Jefferson County. They're doing the same thing, $50. His 80% capacity is at 14. So after 14, I think Nels is going to send them to Saline. What we're going to do here is I hit my 26 over, they're going to go to Saline. If I get back down where I have some room for fresh rest again, they're going to come back. They're not going to stay over there indefinitely. I'm going to try to save what we can. That's it. It's not shipping out and closing. You'll never not see, I don't think you'll ever be able to see not have a jail here of some type. It's just going to be impossible. I showed the committee last week the printout that the jail inspections people use when they come through, and there's only about maybe half a dozen things on there that I wouldn't be doing if I was a Class 1 or 2 jail versus Class 3. Well, those are mostly city jails, and some of those are going wayside anyway. So they said, we're just going to stay at Class 3, just be county jail, keep doing like we have been, and that'll just be a safety valve for us to release.
But I think it's important that we put out there, no, we're still maintaining our jail.
Absolutely.
And this is for
overcrowding
or staffing situations or something like that that just does not allow us to maintain or to keep some of those inmates here for various reasons.
Correct.
Above capacity, sometimes it
maintenance.
Was maintenance, females, stuff like that.
It's, yes.
We are not closing. I don't want to hear tomorrow that.
No, absolutely not.
We, closing, there's going to
I don't even want to think about that.
There's no par level in here we're going to make. There's no guarantee. We have to have X amount of prisoners per. Nope.
Roger's gone through it. It's a basic. It's basically what we've been doing now. It's just going to allow me to make it a little cheaper. I think it has been $60. They'll come down to 50 with a contract. That's basically all that's going
to
do.
We don't have to keep 10 a month in there.
No.
It's just,
okay.
Right.
No. Gus, what level of population do you want to keep here then? At what
26.
Level? 26.
That's what we're supposed to be rated at when they started looking, going through the bond issue. When you hit 80%, it's a red flag. You have to start either shipping them out, or you'll start being in trouble with some overcrowding, or start remodeling your building. So that's what brought that all to a head. So we're at, like I say, we're at 80% would be 26 for me and it's 14 for Nell. So that's kind of what we've been trying to do. And the reason you do that is because if you max out, Terry, then I have fresh arrest coming in that night. I have no place to put them. So instead of doing it at nighttime hauling them, we do it during daytime when we can handle a little better. So,
yeah. Yeah, and this includes, I guess, it doesn't include the juveniles. We have some other issues with those, and that's still different process.
If Roger calls, we have that conversation, and they meet that criteria, I have room for two here. I'll continue to hold them here because I can tell you most sheriffs won't do that. But it's been hitting so hard with 25, 35,000. We can't take hits like that, so I'm going to do that here if they meet that criteria, and they have the mental stability to be there. If not, they'll get shipped off like the adults do, and other facilities can handle that better. But we're still going to try that much as we can. Roger knows there's only been a couple occasions that's really happened, but, man, they hit you hard with a bill on that.
We've had a couple of those in the last several years, and both times they were $200 plus a day.
It was
$260
now.
Yeah. Each bill was a patrol car for me when I got billed.
Yes, each bill was a patrol car,
yeah.
And that's the cost that this county's bearing.
That's exactly right. So we're trying to work around that, and we're being legal doing it because I know the guidelines we have to hit. But
Quite frankly, that's a calculation that has to enter into our decision whether we charge youth, juvenile age, with adult crimes. And I got to weigh that against the safety of the community. So and I usually touch base with Gus first to try and give him a heads up it may be coming. So. And we'd appreciate that because the county needs to appreciate he's saving us a bunch of money.
Yes.
And that is kind of it's not a pleasant experience.
Well, because it's different dealing with, I have had to make a couple exceptions. We have them in there, last time they're by themselves and their sight sounds separated, so they don't have a lot of people to talk to. So I'll make an occasion if we happen to have a relative or friend come through, so to speak, in jail. I'll give them a half hour in the gym just to play ball and we keep close contact. Now, they can still have contact by law, it's just I'd prefer not to do that with an adult, but it helps keep their sanity when they're there. So,
yeah. Can I talk to Roger? He said he's seen the agreements.
Yes.
He's fine with them.
Yes, sir. There was a couple little things that were tweaked out.
Yeah. They're both counties have been bending more backwards to help us because they just know the jam we're in. So they've been very willing to help. So.
Move to approve.
Lytle moves to approve the interlocal agreements between Saline, Dawson County, and Gage County for housing or contracting the housing of outside prisoners. Moved by Lytle.
Second. Setzer.
Second by Setzer. Any further discussion? Seeing none, vote 7-0.
Thank you.
Next, let's go back through here real quick. Nobody else. All right, we're going to go to closed session to discuss personnel and possible litigation. This serves for the protection of the public interest or needless injury to the reputation of an individual. There'll be no action afterwards. And Myron needs to take a break, so I need let's have a motion to go. Can I have a motion to go into closed session?
So moved.
Moved by Lytle.
And direct Meyer. Part of the motion.
Second by Dorn.
Myron to take
vote.
A break.
7-0. Quick break, and then we'll be right in. No action afterwards.
We're going to go to the next rounds.
Ready? Get a motion to come out of closed session.
So moved.
Second.
You want to hit the. Got a first and a second. You want to hit the. Okay. 7-0.
No, 6-0.
I was waiting for the vote.
Yeah. Yeah. You want to hit the vote?
No.
Yeah. 6-0 to come out with Matt absent, and we'll adjourn the meeting at 12:57. As long as there's no other discussion. Okay. Adjourned at 12:57.
It's gonna be the longest.
Since we've been on.